What a great song of commitment. With every song or every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We are called to a life of commitment. Commitment to the things we know about God, and commitment to the things we are yet to learn about God. This psalm that we're studying now, this beautiful testament and beautiful word about the Word of God, the encouragement to follow after Him. The psalmist here is all through it, is committing himself to the Word of God, because God's been faithful, and God is faithful to His Word, and His decision in the midst of troubles to stay committed to the Word of God. And we're in verse 145 in Psalm 119, so if you'll turn there, we'll kind of pick up. And this section talks about how the Word of God inspires hope. You know, there's one thing that we have a drastic lack of in this world is hope. There's a lot of hopelessness in the world, but it's because we have moved away from the Word of God culturally, but also in the church. There are a lot of hopeless people in the church. A lot of people who claim the name of Christ but have lost the hope in Christ. They're really struggling and really are kind of being blown around and tossed to and fro because they've lost their commitment to the Word of God and lost their conviction that the Word of God's always right. And oftentimes, man, for years we've been praying for revival. Every Thursday morning we've got a group of pastors that meet in Monroe at Mount Zion, and we pray for revival in our community. But the truth is, until there is a recommitment to the Word of God, revival will not happen. Every great revival, every great reformation has begun when there is an individual and corporate recommitting to obeying the Word of God, where the Word of God is raised to supremacy, not just saying that we believe the Word of God, but putting it into practice, being dedicated to the Word of God no matter the cost. When we become recommitted, and when we elevate the Word of God back to where the psalmist is reminding us of here, until we do that, revival will never take place. We can have all the meetings we want to, we can invite and pay the biggest names there is and have the greatest music in the world, but until there is a rededication of our lives to the supremacy, the sufficiency, the inerrancy of the Word of God. Now, we can say it all day long, and we as Baptists, we say it often. We believe in the supremacy of the Word of God. We believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. But it don't mean squat if you ain't living by it. It's just words. And until we're committed to it in every aspect of our life, then revival will not take place. And so as we're reading through this, you hear often in the writing of the psalmist, revive me, quicken me according to your word. And it's that connection, that commitment, that living out the Word of God is where the power of God starts beginning showing up in our lives and overcoming those areas and giving us the victory, transforming our minds and the way we think. So if you would stand with me, we'll begin in verse 145. We'll read down through 152. The psalmist declares, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawn and I cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They're far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your great word and your great love. God, we thank you that you have revealed your character, your purpose, your plan, your salvation, your hope, your love. God, you revealed it all in your word. God, you've been faithful to it over the ages. And God, we as your children have known for many years that your word is true and it will not change. It doesn't matter what culture has to say about it. It doesn't even matter what we think, but God, your word is founded forever. God, we know that. We believe that. But God, let us be committed to that. God, I pray that you would just draw our hearts to you, and we would find hope in these very difficult days in your word. When it seems like the world, our culture, our nation are chasing after so much wickedness. And the wicked are drawing near. But God, you're nearer. And let us hope in you and wait on your word and seek after your word and apply your word. All for the sake of your name. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The very first two verses in here almost sound like he's bargaining with God. Notice what he says. He says, I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your statutes. Man, that sounds like, if you just kind of glance at it, sounds like a prayer we say all the time. God, if you'll just get me out of this, I promise I won't miss another Sunday. God, I promise, if you just take care of this, I'll do right from now on. He's not bargaining with God. He's committing to God. Look at what he says. He says, I cried with all of my heart, answer me, O Lord. He's asking for understanding. God, answer me. God, tell me. God, show me. God, reveal to me. And whatever you reveal, here again, he doesn't know what the answer is going to be. He's just looking for the answer from God. God, give me understanding, O Lord, and I will observe your statutes. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to observe. Whatever you say, I'm going to obey it. God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to go with that. He's committing to following God before he even knows what the answer is. He's committing that whatever, it doesn't matter what it costs, doesn't matter what it causes, doesn't matter the price I have to pay, God, whatever you say, I will do. That's a whole lot different than bargaining. That's committing to God, I know you're always right. God, I know you won't lead me astray. It may not be easy, it probably will be difficult. But God, I'm committing that whatever you tell me to do, I will do. He says, I cried to you. Again, look at the contrast here. He's got in the past, I have cried, I will observe. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. He's been crying, but he's committing to the future. He don't know what it's going to look like yet, but he's committing. I'm going to observe your law. I'm going to keep your testimonies. God, I shall be committed to you no matter what. I just need you. I need your wisdom. I need your salvation. I need you to intervene in this. Remember, he's in a time where it's great persecution for him. There are people trying to destroy him, even kill him. Notice how he is so longing for the word of God. He says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. Again, now he's still in the midst of this. Before he did cry out, I cried out, past tense. Now he says, present tense, I rise before dawn. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I'm still crying out. I hope, or I wait, my translation says wait, but literally it means I hope in your words. I'm getting up and I'm crying out. I'm seeking you before daylight comes. I'm getting up before daylight, God, to seek after you, to seek wisdom, to seek insight. I'm crying out to you early in the morning, and I'm looking for a word from you. I'm looking for instruction from you. I'm looking for direction from you. I'm looking for answers from you. But God, I am so intent on getting them. It's the most important thing. It's more important than sleep. Look at what he says next. Not only does he get up before dawn, he says, but my eyes anticipate the midnight watches. God, I'm looking forward to being up late, seeking after you. God, I know this is a struggle. It's something that's keeping me awake at night, but I'm not going to waste my time worrying. I'm going to spend my time meditating on your word. Man, how many times do you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about some things? You're thinking about a problem. You're thinking about somebody. You're thinking about an issue. You're thinking about something. And we just sit there and we worry and we How many times do we begin to pray the Word of God over that situation? How many times do we get up? I try to sometimes lay there. Sometimes it's I just get up. God, this is a waste of time laying here. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. We're going to spend some time together and crying out to Him. And that's what He's saying. Look, I need you more than anything, and I am committed to you. I'm not going to worry about my problem. My problem is not what I'm focusing on. I'm looking for a word from you, and I'm seeking a word from you, and it's more important than sleep. It's more important than anything. Man, one of the biggest excuses I hear about studying the Bible, I just don't have time. Yeah, you got 24 hours. You got 24 hours every day. Just what do you do? We got 24 hours. Do you get up and you read your Bible? Do you get up 30 minutes earlier than you have to? Most of us, you know, got to be at work at 8 o'clock. We got to know exactly how long I can sleep. I know exactly how many times I can hit that snooze. And I know exactly the moment, the millisecond, I've got to get up so I can wash my hair, brush my teeth, get ready, and out the door and be at the workplace exactly at 8 o'clock. We've got it down to the millisecond. And we don't give up one moment of sleep. And then we say, I just ain't got time. Yeah, you do. You slept through it. It's not important enough to get up. I'm just being honest. And I'm preaching to me, just I'm like talking to you. It's just not important. See, the psalmist is in a place where there is nothing more important than hearing from God. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been there, sleep don't matter anymore because it ain't coming anyway. That few extra seconds in bed doesn't matter. I need to hear from you, God, and I'm willing to give up sleep to do it. God, I'm willing to stay up late at night. I know I'm going to be awake tonight, and while I'm awake tonight, God, these are the passages I'm going to be thinking about. This is what I'm going to be praying to you. This is what I'm going to be seeking out. God, I need something from you. I need a word. I need an answer. I need direction. And when we get that desperate for the Word of God, sleep doesn't matter. But you see, we shouldn't have to wait until things are so desperate. Because the honest truth is, we should be that desperate every day. I am desperately dependent upon the Lord. The more I walk with the Lord, the more I understand how dependent I am upon Him and how bad I need Him. And so the psalmist, in the middle of his struggle, yeah, he's in the middle of a struggle, but this is something that's been ongoing. He says, I don't dread staying awake at night. I anticipate the night watch so that I may meditate on your word. And so he begins to, again, cry out to God, hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Now, not according to my wailing, not according to my cry, not even according to my worth. God, I'm crying out to you, and I need an answer from you, not because I'm somebody, but because of your loving kindness. I need your grace, God. I need you to speak to me out of your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Remember, we've defined that word as to quicken, to make my spirit alive, to energize me spiritually according to your ordinances. That's what revival is. It's a quickening of the spirit. It's an energizing of the spirit. It's an elevating of our passions for God. Becoming more passionate for the Lord. That's all revival is. It's not some magical thing. It's just a hungering and thirsting for the Word of God. It's a hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's a hungering and thirsting for God's presence and power and demonstration of His presence in your life. It's wanting God more than you want anything else. That's all revival is. And so it's more of a decision we make than a method we go through. To be revived is to be rededicated, to be refocused, to place God's Word, God's desire above everything else in our lives. That's the magic bullet for revival. But until we get there, it's never going to happen. So he says, God, hear my cry according to your loving kindness. Revive me according to your ordinances. It's the refocusing on the Word of God that brings revival, spiritual quickening to us. Here's his dilemma. Those who follow after wickedness draw near, but they're far from your law. These wicked people are near me, but far from you. They're closing in. They're all around about me, but yet they're far from you, O Lord. They're not seeking you. They're not honoring you. But look at how he turns it around. He says, verse 151, you are near, O Lord. He says, they're near to me, but far from you. God, you're near to me, but far from them. The hounds are closing in, but God, you're here with me, and that's all that matters. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's like the servant of Elisha when they were in the city and all the armies were gathering around to take over the city, and the servant comes running. Oh, Elijah, the enemy's here, the army's surrounding us, we got nowhere to go, we're undone. And he prays and says, God, open his eyes that he may see. And God opens his eyes and he sees the angels surrounding the army that's surrounding them. There's more for us than those that are against us. You know, and so he's being reminded, yeah, things are bad. Yeah, there's all kinds of persecution. Yeah, things are tough. Things are hard. And it seems like they're breathing down my neck, those that are trying to destroy me. But God, you're here. You're near. And that's what matters more than anything. But the nearness of God is not just the how can I say this? For us to experience the nearness of God, we experience it through the Holy Spirit, but we experience it through the Word of God. That's where God speaks to us, is through the Word of God. That's why the psalmist said in another place, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's the Word of God that brings the nearness of God, makes us aware of the nearness of God. God will in times of trouble, He'll remind us of those things that we've read in the Word. He'll remind us of those things that we've spent time studying in the Word. And when trouble comes, when that problem arises, when that difficulty happens, and we need an answer, and we've been studying the Word of God, then God has plenty of files to pull up and remind us of what we've read and what we've studied. We may not have ever remembered it, but in that moment, God brings it back to our mindset. He brings it back to the forefront and pulls it up on our main screen. And we remember, oh, that's the Word. Yeah, God, thank you. You're here. You're answering this. But the problem is we haven't spent much time in the Word of God, and we don't have many files for Him to choose from. See, God's not going to draw to our mind what we haven't studied. He's not just going to magically and miraculously give us Scripture that we haven't studied and memorized. He's going to draw from what we've put in. And I'm just going to tell you, I want to put in all I can so that He'll have plenty of ammunition to draw up when I need it. But if you're not putting in, He can't draw it up. That's just the way it works. And that's why the psalmist is so dedicated to the Word of God. That's why he says, I'm not going to waste my time worrying about who's against me. I'm worrying about who's for me. I'm not worried about all the troubles, God. I'm focusing on your Word, and I'm going to pray over your Word. I'm going to meditate on your Word. I'm going to get up early and study your Word, and I'm going to hide it in my heart so when I need it, you can retrieve it, and you can show me how to use it at that moment. And he is so committed to the Word of God. Yeah, I've got troubles. Yeah, I've got problems, God. And yeah, I've been crying out to you, but I'm trusting your Word, and I'm waiting on you to show me how to use it. Verse 151, let's continue in it. It says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. He's committed to the Word of God because everything in it is true. It is not just sufficient, but it is inerrant. There is no wrong thing in this book. Now, if we truly believe that, then aren't we going to study it? If we truly believe that, aren't we going to put it into practice? And so he's committing that, God, I'm crying out to you. God, these are my problems. I'm being honest with you. But God, I'm seeking for the answers in your word. I'm waiting on you to show me what you would have me do, because I know your commandments. Your word is truth. And of old I've known, for years I've known, he says in verse 152, of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. For many years I've known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. What is he saying? The word of God will never be revoked. The word of God will never be removed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not going to change. The word of God is true. And so it's founded, it's grounded, it's established forever. And so even though this book, yeah, it's some 4,000 years old, the writings come from way back, but it's still truth. It is absolutely relevant to today. It's absolutely relevant for every aspect of your life. It's absolutely relevant for everything pertaining to life and godliness. Paul tells us that physical exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable both for this life and the life to come. And so until we are so convinced and committed and dedicated to the Word of God, revival will not happen. In you, in me, and in God's church. It will not happen in this country. Every reformation, every revival that's ever taken place in history began with a recommitment to the Word of God, to study it, to know it, and to live it out every day. That is where revival begins. That's where our hope is. That's where the hope for our country is. That's where the hope for our family is. That's where the hope for our relationships are. It's all in the Word of God, because it is true. It is true. Let's pray.